Well, good evening to you again. What a great privilege it is to be in God's house with God's people on God's day. Thank you for coming. A number of visitors with us again tonight. We really appreciate your presence. You helped make a gospel meeting much, much better. You got your Bible? Open with me tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. While you're turning there, let me share some names with you and see if you can think of what they have in common. J.F. Smith, born August the 11th, 1844, died December 30th, 1923. Virginia Ross, born December the 17th, 1859, died February 25th, 1952. Harmon Lester, born July 18th, 1838, died June 12th, 1888. P.J. Hurley, born June 9th, 1841, died May 3rd, 1923. J.F. Browder, born August 25th, 1855, died November the 11th, 1931. Does anybody know what these folks have in common? If you listen carefully, you realize that all of them were born before the Civil War. And they all died after the Civil War. It says in the great book of Ecclesiastes that there is a time to be born and a time to die. These people were all born before that great war. They died after that great war. You'll find monuments to these folks at the Shiloh Cemetery over in West Tennessee. And you're going to find on those monuments some wonderful words. For example, words like gone, but not forgotten. We'll love you and always remember you. You fought a good fight. You kept the faith. He died as he lived, trusting in God. But as I have viewed that cemetery and many, many others like it, I wonder, how did these people die? Did they die saved or did they die lost? Did they die blessed or did they die cursed? Did they die in Jesus or out of Jesus? A few months back, I was over in the Pegram area, went to the military cemetery where my father was buried back last July. A few months later, I went back to that cemetery. And if you know anything about the military cemeteries, you know that as a military person passes away, they're placed next in line. That day, my father was the last person in that line. When I went back, the row that he's buried in was filled. The next row had been filled. The next row had been filled. And the next row had been filled. Within just a few months. If you've been to that cemetery, you know it's beautifully laid out in a little valley there in Pegram. Beautiful, beautiful cemetery. And all of those monuments, one after another. But as I look out over those monuments, I wonder, how did they die? Did they die in Christ or out of Christ? Did they die saved or did they die lost? Well, tonight, we're continuing our thought about life's tough questions. And the question we want to look at tonight is, how should a Christian view death? And there are three things that I want to share with you tonight about death. Number one, death is a certainty. It's a certainty. Ladies and gentlemen, death is not like eating the lunch we had today. My, you outdid yourself. To walk into that room, look down that line, and what did we have? Choice. I mean, if you wanted spare ribs, you could get spare ribs. If you wanted a pork chop, you could get a pork chop. If you wanted fried chicken, you could get a fried chicken. If you wanted a chicken casserole, we had chicken casserole. My, what a selection. But as you passed on by, green beans. But not simply green beans. You had Blue Lake green beans. You had pole beans. You had your choice. All different kinds. Two or three different kinds of corn. White corn and mixed corn. White and yellow together. And you go on down the line. And my, did you see the dessert table? Ooh, honey. Choice. And you see, you could go through that line and pick out everything that you liked and everything you wanted. And most of us, we're not even going to think about supper tonight, are we? We're still full. But death is not like lunch. It's not something that you can choose or reject. In fact, it's estimated that people are dying at the rate of 2 per second, 120 per minute, 7,200 every hour, 170,000 every day. If that estimation is correct or close, we've been here almost 30 minutes. And what does that mean? It means about 3,600 people have died just since we've been here. And folks, death, like God, is not a respecter of persons. It comes to the old, it comes to the poor, it comes to the rich, it comes to the black, it comes to the white, it comes to the educated, it comes to the uneducated. And if you don't believe that, pick up your Tennessean. You're going to find some have passed away who are in their 80s. In their 90s. Maybe you saw today in our county, Cannon County, John B. Travis, 94 years old. But also in today's paper, you're going to find that there were some 30-year-olds who died and some 40-year-olds who died. And in the course of a week, you're going to find some babies that have died and some 6-year-olds who have died and some teenagers who've been involved in car wrecks or accidents or some who've had illnesses since they were children who have died. Death is not a respecter of persons, and it's not a respecter of age. Death comes. It's not a choice. It is a certainty. And that's what I learned in this great book of Ecclesiastes. I've got you open to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 16. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is and the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dies the wise man? As the fool. What does it say? Wise men die, foolish men die. Smart people die, dumb people die. The wise die, the foolish die. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. There is a time to be born and a time to die. Look at verse 19 of that chapter. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man has no preeminence over a beast. Many of you have lived on a farm growing up. And you know that from time to time, You'll have a cow or a calf that will die. You might have a mule that will die. You might have some sheep that die. You might have goats that die. You'll have chickens that die. You'll have pigs or sows that will die. And what does he say? He says, look at the animal kingdom. Just like the animals in this world die, you're going to die. It is a certainty. Go to chapter 8, verse 10. An interesting statement. And I saw the wicked die. Question. Have you ever seen a wicked man buried? Have you ever attended the funeral of a wicked man? I mean, maybe this guy's a drunkard. Maybe he's been a thief. Maybe he's been a liar. And he dies. And what do preachers often do? We kind of dress him up a little, don't we? Solomon's pretty blunt about it. He says, I saw the wicked die. Go to chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. All things come alike to all. Maybe your Bible says all share a common destiny. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and the clean and the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. He that swears is he that fears an oath. This is an evil among all things under the sun. There is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they do die. The wise man says, everybody shares a common destiny. You live, and then you're going to die. Whether you love the Lord or don't love the Lord, you're going to die. Whether you're good or bad, you're going to die. Whether you're righteous or unrighteous, you're going to die. It's a common destiny to every man. If you'll sit down and read through the book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, you'll find that in 11 of the 12 chapters, Solomon talks about death and dying. It's just like the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. I want to ask you tonight, are you listening? Are you prepared to die? If a tornado came through this area, like it did Hendersonville a few months ago, and your home with you in it is taken, would you be prepared to die? I was talking to someone recently. The night before, they were talking to a friend on the telephone, and while talking on the telephone, had a heart attack and died. If you had a heart attack and died tonight, would you be ready to go? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to die physically? By that, do you know what funeral home you want to go to? Do you know what cemetery you want to be buried in? Do you know who will preach your funeral? Do you know who will sing at your funeral? Do you know the songs that you want to have sung at your funeral? Do you know who your pallbearers will be? Let me encourage you, if you have not done so, to take 10 minutes of your time and write down on a sheet of paper the answers to those questions. Make a copy of it, give one to your children, and put one in your lockbox. it will help them in a difficult time to do what needs to be done for you. I think about Joseph. He said, the time will come when you leave Egypt. When you leave, don't leave my bones there. Take them back home. Joseph talked about his burial with his kids. Do you ever talk about where you want to be buried? Do your family members know what they need to do if you're hooked up to life systems? Do you have a living will? Now, a living will is a different thing from an estate will. An estate will deals with your property. A living will deals with what needs to be done about putting you on a life support system, putting you on various other things. I'm just asking, if you were to die, would your wife and kids have enough money to live on? If you died suddenly, the most important question is, not are you prepared to die physically, but are you prepared to die spiritually? If your life were taken from you today, would your family be comforted in knowing that you are a child of God, a faithful child of God, one who's ready to hear God say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Folks, death is not a choice. Death is a certainty. That's the first thing I see in the book of Ecclesiastes. We all share a common destiny. It won't matter if you're good or bad, righteous or unrighteous, we will all die. The second truth I find about death is that death is not the end of life. It's only the entrance into the next life. James 2, verse 26, James puts it like this, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Just like I cannot have a living faith without works, without some proof, without some action, you cannot have a living body without your spirit. In fact, James provides a pretty good definition of death, doesn't he? Have you ever asked, when does death occur? Does death happen when the heart stops beating? Does death happen when you stop breathing? Does death happen when the mind stops working? I'll tell you when it happens. Death happens when the spirit leaves the body. Faith, or the body without the spirit, is dead. Whenever the spirit leaves the body, death has occurred. Are you listening? That is not the end. It's only the beginning of the next life. And yet some find a theological problem in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. There Solomon says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Did you know that was there? I'll tell you what a lot of people do to this passage. They'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, and they'll say when a person is dead, they've simply gone out of existence. They don't know anything. He's like the dog Rover. He's dead all over. He's non-existent. A person dies, that's the end. I believe these people have stopped reading before God has stopped revealing. Because in chapter 9, verse 6, notice again the context. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Also their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done. Where? Under the sun. Now there are two extreme views of death. One is that a man dies and he's like the dog Rover, dead all over. He just goes out of existence. That's a false view of death. Another false view, another extreme view of death, is that not only are the dead existing, but they remain a vital part of our lives. Maybe grandma's looking down from heaven and sees you in church and she's happy, or you're not here and she's sad. Maybe you've heard of folks who believe they've communicated with the dead. Well, I believe those are two extreme views of death. Scripture does not teach that when a person dies, he goes out of existence. But neither does the Bible teach that the dead people are still very much a part of our lives. and that we can communicate with them. What the Bible does say is, the dead know not anything under the sun. They don't know what's going on down here. That doesn't mean they've gone out of existence. Death is not the end. It's the entrance into the next life. Do you know the difference in this life and the next life? One of the big differences is the time element. This life is temporary. The next life is permanent. This life is temporal. The next life, eternal. Jesus put it in these words in Matthew 25, verse 46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Folks, that's the real hell. But the righteous into life eternal. That's heaven. Notice the words that is used in reference to both of them. Everlasting punishment. Everlasting. How long is everlasting? It is everlasting. Eternal. How long is eternal? I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. You've gone from time into eternity. It's not the end. You don't cease to exist. You take your last breath, your body dies. The scripture says the spirit returns to God who gave it, but the body returns to the dust from whence it was made. You take your last breath and you go from a time-framed life into a timeless life. You go from time into eternity. Time into everlastingness. It'll last forever. Never ceases, never ends. If you're saved, that's great news. Amen? But if you're lost, it will be the worst news you've ever in your life had. In a way, it's hard for us to identify with eternity because everything we're associated with has a starting time and a finishing time. A beginning and an end. Not so with eternity. Just suppose an ant is on the beach in Daytona, Florida. And that ant picks up one grain of sand, walks all the way across the United States to Long Beach, California, and deposits that little grain of sand. And picks up a grain from the Long Beach and brings it back to Daytona and drops it in Daytona. Now, I don't know how long that'd take. It'd take a long time just for one grain of sand for an ant to march all across this country. But if that ant were able to take all of the sand off of Daytona Beach and put it on Long Beach, and all the sand off of Long Beach and put it on Daytona Beach, however long that would be, millions of years, I would estimate, eternity has only begun. It's only begun. Only begun. Eternity is forever, beloved. But let's say you die and go to heaven. You're blessed forever, and that's a wonderful thought. But if you die and go to hell, and you have to endure everlasting punishment, let's just say that after a million years, hell would end. After you've been there for a year, you could with hope look up and say, my, as bad as this is, I've only got 999,999 years to go. But you'll never be able to say that. Because in hell there is no hope. So death is not the end, it's only the entrance into the next life. And if you're saved, if you're walking in the light, if you're trusting in Jesus, death is good news. And the coming eternity in heaven is going to be comforting to you. But if you're outside of Jesus, it ought to scare the daylights out of you to think that you'd go to hell and have to be there forever. Everlasting punishment. But the third thing I want to say about death is this. To the Christian, death is not a burden. Death is a blessing. It's a blessing. For one, to die in Jesus is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Maybe your Bible says a good name is better than fine perfume. Ladies, what kind of perfume do you like? Maybe you like white diamond. Maybe you like white shoulders. Maybe you like windsong. But do you know what's better than your best perfume? A good name. You better protect your name. Keep your name honest and clean. But let's keep reading. And the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. December the 19th, Ann and I went over to our daughter's. It was our granddaughter's second birthday. And we gave presents and we sang happy birthday and we ate cake. This next year, February the 6th, is that right, February the 6th? I dare say that not only will we come this next December the 19th, but this next February the 6th, we'll go back and it'll be baby Thomas's first birthday. And we'll give presents and we'll sing songs and we'll eat birthday cake. And we'll have a great time. Ann and I have looked forward to having grandchildren. And what a great privilege it was to be there for both of their births. The day of a child's birth is a great day. But do you know what's better than the day of your birth? Solomon says the day you die. The day you die. Paul said it like this in Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ. To die is G-A-I-N. Gain. Gain. Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed. Are you listening? Death is not a burden. It's a blessing. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I don't know what's precious to you. It may be your grandkids. It may be your time. It may be your money. It may be travel. Let me tell you what's precious to God. The death of his children. The death of his saints. Good people. Death is not like eating lunch at a church dinner. It's not a choice. It is a certainty. It's appointed unto man once to die. But death is not the end. Just because you take your last breath on this earth does not mean you go out of existence. The dead know not anything under the sun, but they're buried much alive in the next world. There is an eternal life or an everlasting punishment. But to the Christian, death is not a burden. Death is a blessing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you realize that this assembly will never be the same? Now, you can look at all the folks who are here tonight. And we've got some people here tonight who were not here this morning. And we've got some here who were here this morning who are not here tonight. And when church time comes around next Sunday morning, there are going to be some other folks who were not able to be here today who will be here next Sunday, and some who were here today who are not going to be here. Every assembly changes. By this time next year, more than likely, there will even be someone who's here today who has died. More than likely. My question to you as we close. Are you prepared to die? spiritually? Are you right with God? If you're not a Christian, I want to urge you this morning, as we talked about this morning, the greatest question of life, what must I do to be saved? You need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, come to that trusting faith that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, to be raised to walk a new life. And Christian, are you living a faithful walk with God? If you're not, I want to urge you to repent and return to a faithful, devoted walk with God. Come right now while we stand and while we sing.